Very happy to be with y'all here at Cool Springs. And I always like coming here. And y'all seem to always let me come, so I appreciate that. That last song really got to me. And I'm not much of a crybaby. I'm a laugher more than I am a crier. But I don't know why I've been singing that song all my life. And sometimes it just hits you that you sing a song and it just the words get to you. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. And, you know, a lot of my preaching in my life, I've focused on the sinner part of it. But it just dawned on me, the friend. And I think I need to be a little bit more positive. Sure, we are sinners that are hell deserving. We are totally depraved and we don't deserve one second of God's grace. We certainly don't deserve eternity in heaven, but I'm so glad that Jesus was a friend of sinners, not a friend of righteous. I don't think he'd have very many friends if he was. He'd just have to be friends with himself and the angels, but he came to save sinners. And I've been feeling my depravity a lot lately and feeling the need of complete dependence and reliance upon my best friend. And in case you're wondering, it's Jesus Christ. Yeah. I have a lot of second best friends, but he's my best friend. And if he's not your best friend, he ought to be. And come talk to me and I'll try to convince you why he ought to be. If it's something else, if you got something going on in your life that gets in the way of your service of Jesus Christ, you are in idolatry, my friend. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it treats you. There's nothing that can treat you better than the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deserves more than I give him. The Lord, I trust, and I know you believe this, did everything necessary to save us from hell to paradise above. I believe that there's nothing left unfinished. And when he said, it is finished, it was finished, and it still is finished. And we're not trying to get to heaven because we would all fail. If heaven was a competition, it would be the only competition where everybody lost. But because of Christ, everybody is more than conquerors. We're all victors. And I believe that. That's why I'm a primitive Baptist. That's the doctrine that I love. And I don't want to hear any other doctrine except Jesus Christ and him crucified as far as salvation is concerned. But I'm glad that he didn't save us and then just left us to live in this life just as we see fit. But he gave us many things to help us get through our time here on earth. Chief among, I believe, is the church. What would we do without the church? I don't see how people live without the church. I don't understand anybody who would do something on Sunday morning except go to church. If you can explain that to me, I will stay here tonight and listen to you. And I'm still going to disagree with you when you're finished. If you think something's better, football, racing, family is better than this, you're wrong. Now, if somebody disagrees with me, speak up. But I agree with myself. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth, and it's where the spirits of just men and where the angels meet and where the saints of God are found is where we hear the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's where we ought to take our kids. It's where we ought to take ourselves and give him the glory worthy of his name. Now, we spent a good weekend in services. I don't know if this will be the best, but it's a good way to end the meeting is to have a meeting. This is the best way to end an annual meeting is to go to meeting. He left us the church, and he left us the fellowship of the saints, and he left us prayer. And I'm not going to talk long, so don't everybody get excited so much about that tonight. I just don't feel very long-winded right now. Maybe that will change. You might want to pray about it. But I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer and just encourage us and exhort us to pray. And the one person that I'm picking on the most is me. I'm preaching to me. I know the sermon I'm going to preach is what I need to hear. So I hope I have liberty to preach, and I hope I have liberty to hear what I preach. That's interesting how that works out, by the way. But I want to look at the last verse in Hebrews chapter 4. And there's a lot of scriptures we can talk about, but this one is, I like this one a lot. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This thought would have been unthinkable in the Old Testament. They went to the throne of grace, but they didn't go boldly. They went in fear. And they didn't go often. They only went once a year on the Day of Atonement. When our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, we read that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, thus exposing the mercy seat and the throne of grace, or the Ark of the Covenant. It's the same thing. And what that is demonstrating to us is that mercy is now revealed, and freedom and access and liberty through Christ is given to us, to God the Father. And that was proclaimed openly in a brilliant way when that veil was rent from top to bottom. And now by allegory, the Apostle Paul takes that throne of grace and says, when you go to the Lord in prayer, it is like you're going into the temple itself, and you're kneeling down at that throne of grace where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, and you speak directly to God. That's what prayer is. You don't have to go to a priest anymore. You don't have to go through anybody, no matter how good they are. You are now given access and the liberty to not only come, but to come boldly and to come often. Now, that's a great blessing. You know, one thing I've never rebuked myself about is praying too much. Have you ever gotten on to your kids for praying too much? Have you ever felt guilty that you wasted too much of your day in prayer? No, but I feel guilty about not praying enough. I ought to pray more than I do. We are told to pray without ceasing. So you can't really pray too much, can you? And I know a lot of times we'll pray for something, and when the Lord blesses, then we need to go back and give a prayer of thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul encourages us to come boldly in prayer. And he says, and when you do, you get two things when you pray. Number one, you obtain mercy. That's number one. Number two, you get grace to help in time of need. That's two things you get when you pray. Besides the petitions that you present to God, beside the fact that your prayer is being heard in paradise, these things are granted to us when we pray. There have been moments in my life in the past year that I was desperate, that I needed confirmation that God was there. I needed to know that everything was going to be okay. You said, well, you should have known better. I know, but I didn't. I had a crisis of faith. And my hope was deferred and my heart was sick. And I didn't see the Lord like I had once saw Him. And I didn't feel that connection with Him. And I was desperate to know that He was still there. And I went many times to the Lord in prayer. And I obtained mercy. That's what I'm talking about. I felt a confirmation that my Lord still loves me and listens to me. And though I may not see Him, His eyes were upon me. And though I didn't know how the day was going to end, He had declared it from the very beginning. To me, the mercy is talking about immediate relief. I call it the succor of the Holy Spirit. The nurturing. The immediate need and granting and bestowing of God upon us in prayer, that God abides with us. I love that. The Apostle Paul says, you come boldly, you need to come boldly, and you need to obtain this mercy. And I felt better. And I thought I could make it. But it would come again that I would need to feel the Lord is there, and I went again. I call this espresso praying. If you don't know what espresso is, where you been? You ever drink espresso? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, one shot and you're wired for the next 5 hours. All right? I kind of like to drink it, actually. My boys, they like to get into all this fancy schmancy coffee, Java stuff. I let them do it, and I enjoy it. I'm too lazy to make it myself, but if they're going to do it for me, well, why not? It's just a little bit. It's strong. It's concentrated. It's, you know, you've had a cup of espresso when you put it in your mouth. And then the relief that comes. Maybe you might not call it relief, but I do. That nice warm glow. You've got coffee in your bloodstream. It's going to be all right. That's what espresso does for me. It's sort of what prayer does for me spiritually. I feel immediately that God is there. And though I don't know how this situation will be resolved, I know He's on the job and I feel His presence not only with me but in me, and all is well. And it may last 5 hours. I need to go back again. That's that mercy I believe He's talking about. And then He says, and grace to help in time of need. That's to me, that's more long-term relief. That's God saying, I've got this covered. I'll help you handle it. I'll show you what you need to do when you need to do it. I'll take care of you. Walk by faith. Just keep walking. Don't turn back. Keep praying. And it'll be all right. My beloved, these two things will bless you in any situation you find yourself in. Whether you put yourself there or circumstances put you there. This fits anything. Somebody may take something and it helps them medicinally. Somebody may take something that has no effect on them. Some people may be allergic to particular medicines. Some may get a misdiagnosis. Or may take too much or take too little. Friends, you can't ever overdose on prayer. You can underdose on it. Just keep praying. You can't get too much prayer. Prayer fits any circumstance. You say, well, it may be my fault. Well, pray and that the Lord will show you how to get out of it, even though it's your fault. Circumstances may put you there. You may say, I don't know how to get out of it. That's okay. He got you out of hell. He can get you out of this. All right? He took you out of the pit. He put you on the rock. He established your goings. Not only that, He put a new song in your mouth. I think He can take care of anything else. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. His arm is never shortened. The Lord is never surprised. He never has to say, well, I need to think about this for a while. He never slumbers nor sleeps. There's never a busy signal. You never get on call waiting. He doesn't look at caller ID and say, oh, David's calling again. I'll get him later. No, my friends, He always answers. And it may be yes, and it may be no, and it may be not now. Sometimes it may be yes, but you're going to wish I would have said no. Sometimes He answers that. I don't know which one He's going to give you. That's up to God. That's up to God's providence. But what we ought to do is pray. Go boldly before the throne of grace. Don't go boldly in front of the television or into the entertainment venues or away from the house of God. If you're unhappy, well, duh, I can tell you why you're unhappy. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to the Lord, and if you're going to the house of God and the house of prayer and you're worshiping the Lord with the saints of God, I tell you what, you have every reason to be happy. You have every reason to shout praises. And no wonder, my friends, that the more we go to church, the better we feel, and the more we pray, the better things are. This is a no-brainer. It just works out that way, doesn't it? And we shouldn't be surprised. Come boldly. It's there. It doesn't cost you anything except time. And that's time well spent. That's time redeemed. That's time you'll get back. That's time that you'll be glad that you spent. I tell you what, I quit watching football games because my team always loses. I mean, I'm sick of it. Y'all hold me to this. Next year, if I'm back here next year, I'm not going to be watching any more football games. They always lose. But I tell you what, I've never gone to the Lord in prayer and said, man, I don't know why I'm doing all that praying. It just doesn't work. I'm standing here amazed right now at the state of my life and the state of my soul because I have looked to the Lord and He has graciously answered and it's all right. It is well. It is well with my soul right now. I don't mean I'm just waiting for it to get well. It already is well. I'm not waiting for things to happen or so-and-so to do something. Right now, it is well. I'm doing all right. Thanks be unto God. I'm doing good. Thanks be unto God. Not me. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. I'm just a blessed recipient of mercy. Mercy obtained. And grace that helped when I needed it. When I didn't know how I was going to make it. He pulled me through it. Or He carried me through it. He put me on His shoulder. And it's all right. And I think about Romans chapter 8. as the Apostle Paul spoke along the same lines in verse 26. He says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, knowing that the Spirit of Almighty God, God's Holy Spirit, knows the things that are going on in our life, knows them better than we know ourselves, knows our infirmities, knows our weaknesses, the things that are causing us despair and distress, understands that and takes those things upwards of glory and presents them to God in heavenly language, and they're heard. That's mercy, to know that your prayer is being heard by God Almighty. You've done the best thing you can do." You know, usually my deal is, well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll just have to pray about it. Usually, you know, you ever wonder why the last thing you ever do is pray? Because that's the best thing you can do, and the Lord hears, and you don't, what else better can you do after that? And so it says, the Spirit helpeth. I'm glad it does. In verse 27, it says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I mean, that's grace to help. That's long-term relief. It's going to be all right if you look to the Lord and seek the Lord and pray to the Lord and speak to the Lord and communicate with Him and go to Him often. All these things and these infirmities which find us, which cripple us and cause us to look down, to look away, will cause us to look again to His holy temple and keep trying, and it will be just all right. Are we worried about our church? We ought to pray for it. Are we worried about our country? We ought to pray for it. Are we worried about our children? We ought to pray for them. Are we worried about our marriage? We ought to pray for it. Are we worried about whatever it is, about ourselves, about our friends, about our loved ones, about the nation, about the world? Are we worried about the future? Are we worried about retirement? Do we have economic problems, personal problems, emotional problems, mental problems, spiritual problems? My beloved friends, the great physician has the cure for every single one of them. And you can have a whole bunch of them, and he's still got the cure. There's nothing that he can't fix. But I tell you what, I can mess up everything. I can snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. Think about that one for a while. You might get it later. But I'm real good about that. I can make something that's just going great and just mess it up entirely. But the Lord can take a mess and make beautiful things come out of it. He can even make good come out of evil. I hasten to say that He didn't predestinate the evil for the good. We know that. We know better than that. But this is God's providence, that He can take a situation that was done with malicious intent, and it looks like it's going to have a bad end. The Lord can take that and make it have a happy ending. Isaiah talks about beauty for ashes. He could take the ashes of devastation and through His power produce beautiful fruit which blesses us for the rest of our life and those around us. I am living proof that He has done it. I don't know why He loves me the way He does, but I'm mighty glad that He does. I'm glad He loves the Primitive Baptist. We've done a pretty good job of messing things up, but He still blesses us. I don't know why He loves the United States, but I believe He's still in this country, and we ought to pray for it. My beloved, I tell you what, He is faithful and true. And He will answer the last prayer uttered. It may be a split second before He walks into eternity down to the lead Him in the air. There may be someone praying as He stands on that up there in the sky. He'll answer that prayer. And they'll see the object of their prayers, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. We won't need to pray anymore. We'll see Him as He is. Ah, what a day that will be. Told you I wasn't going to preach very long. That's a good place to quit. May the Lord richly bless you is my prayer. Love you all. Come see me in Texas anytime. We'll get some Mexican food. We'll go to the Primitive Baptist Church. What an unbeatable combination that is. Y'all come see me anytime. May God richly bless.